God is writing a story in your life. It is a story of Jesus living through you. It is a good story. I'm Rick Lancaster. If you can, grab a Bible and follow along as we go verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke. As we look at the life and ministry of Jesus, we will see better how to let God write the story of Jesus in our lives. Last Sunday, as Randy was sharing, he talked about us getting back into Luke to continue our study through the Gospel of Luke. And as he was talking, I sensed the Holy Spirit telling me that's not what he wanted to do today. And instead, I am going to continue the series that Pastor Ryan started 3 weeks ago. And I'm going to teach a message that, frankly, I don't really want to share today. And it's going to take a lot for me to get it out. No one is immune from trials. No one. We all go through stuff. We all go through hard things. We all go through tribulations. We all go through stuff that, frankly, in some cases, we shouldn't have to go through. And if you've been around at all for the last few weeks, and I know some of you haven't, and so you maybe feel out of the loop here, and I'm sorry about that, but our family has been going through a hard time. And for the last three Sundays, Pastors Ryan and Randy have shared that in ways that have just been exactly what I needed to hear. And so we didn't plan on doing a series on going through trials and suffering. That wasn't the plan. Randy called Ryan and said, "Ryan, we need you to come out and fill in for Rick on Sunday." And, you know, Ryan was available. He came out. And then Randy was led by the Holy Spirit to teach the message he did. And as I was sitting there, God said, I got something else. I got a little bit more I want to share. And if you've been around, and some of you have been around for a long time, you know that I am not a topical teacher. That's not my style. I teach through the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But God wanted to say something personal today. And personally, I think he wants to say it to me. And he's just going to let you witness it. Not just you. Pastor Ryan shared a message that really focused on our relationship with God. And when we're going through these tough times, we'll often, ask a question that is very similar to, "Where are you, God? Where are you?" And what we mean by that, what we're actually asking is the question is, where are you in my circumstance? This is going on in my life. Where are you? Because if you loved me, if you cared about me, if you knew what was going on in my life, this wouldn't be happening. That's the question we're asking. And he exhorted us to set aside what we feel about those circumstances and remind ourselves about what we know about Jesus and his word. And he reminded us that from Hebrews 13:5, he quoted this and he said, "And he himself has said, Christ himself has said, God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." What does never mean? Never. Not ever. Not ever. That no matter how dark it is, no matter how hard it gets, he's always right there. As hard as it is to see my mom the way that she is, I know Jesus is there. He is with us. He's with her. I know that. Doesn't make it easier, but I know it. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Randy dealt with the common question we might ask during difficult times: why is this happening to me? Why me, God? I mean, come on. Don't I deserve a break? Because, like, you know, I'm special. You know, I serve Jesus, so shouldn't I get a pass? And he turned that around and asked the more appropriate question. Why not me? Why not you? Why should you be excluded from hard things, from suffering? And remind us that one of the reasons why bad things happen in the lives of Christians is because there's a reason for it. You know, even faithful Christians experience hard times. John 16:33, Jesus told us, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have it easy." No problems. Right? No, it doesn't say that. What does it say we'll have? What does it say right there? Tribulation. Anybody know that that's not a good thing? Right? Tribulations are hard things. They come. In that message, Randy shared four precepts of God's comfort. Not going to go through them all here. I would encourage you to go back and watch those messages. And then last Sunday, Randy taught again and reminded us that why one of the reasons why we have these bad things happening is because we have an enemy. We have somebody out there that's trying to mess up our lives. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be sober, be vigilant." That means take it seriously and be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, also known as Satan, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. One of the things he said last week that I thought was so powerful was that, you know, we think of Satan, if you believe in Satan, not everybody believes in Satan, which makes them very vulnerable to his attacks, but you know, we think, okay, he's out there, and he's this, he's that, whatever. You know, we think, you know, he's just trying to mess with our lives, right? He's just trying to disrupt your life. He's just trying to make you miserable. No, he's not. His goal is to utterly ruin you. He wants to make your life an utter ruin, a mess. He wants to destroy, rob, steal, and kill everything that is good in your life. That's his goal. God's goal, while he does allow trials, is to use those trials to draw you to himself, to his grace, to his mercy, to his love, and to use those trials to conform you into the image of his Son. If you missed any of those messages, I highly encourage you to go back and watch them, listen to them. Our family has been going through a tough time, and not just with my mom. It goes back several months. It's been kind of a pattern that we've had in the last few months. It's been hard. And then my mom had a stroke. Some people were praying for us last weekend, last Sunday. And as they were praying, it occurred to me that one of the people that was in that circle praying for me was going through something very difficult too. An impossible situation. And I hadn't given that person a single thought in weeks, because my problem was so big in my heart. And it convicted me, reminded me that you are never the only person suffering at any given moment, ever. There's always somebody around you that's suffering, that's going through something hard. And it also reminded me that the things that you are experiencing, the things that you are suffering, that they don't impact just you. They're touching other people's lives as well. We're going to pray and then look at some of these things about trials that I hope helps us to get to the other side of it. Doesn't necessarily make them easier, but I'm going to try to share some things that I believe does help it to be easier as we go through these things. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, I, at these kinds of times, Lord, it's even hard sometimes to know how to pray. And so, Lord, I lay my heart out before you. You know my heart better than I do. And you know what I'm feeling, you know what I'm thinking, you know what I'm struggling with, you know what all of us are dealing with right now. And so as we go into this time, Lord, I know that I'm not the only one going through a difficult thing. I've got my family here. We're all going through these things together. Lord, there are other people here that are going through hard things. There are other people that maybe have been through hard things, that maybe facing hard things. Lord, it's just the life, the world that we live in right now. And so we need to know how to get to the other side, how to walk in the midst of the storm. And so I pray, Lord, that you would take this time, Lord, to open our hearts. And Lord, whatever we brought into this place, whatever hard thing, whatever struggle, whatever doubt, whatever confusion, whatever emotional whatever, Lord, that we would just lay it down just for a moment and allow your Spirit to minister to us through your word in a way that brings us to a place of peace, of trust, of hope. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your people, Lord God, who have encouraged me and my family in amazing and wonderful ways. And I thank you so much for what your Son did for us. I thank you so much for sending the Holy Spirit to be a comforter to us. And I thank you for using your people to communicate that to us. We thank you, Lord, for this day, and we give it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bible to Job chapter 2. Anytime you talk about suffering and trials, we almost end up in one of two places. We're either going to talk about Job or we're going to talk about Joseph. Those are the two most commonly used examples of trials and suffering in the Bible. The account of Job is fascinating because in it we get to see the role that Satan plays in these difficult times in our lives. That while not everything is Satan, banging on our, lives. I think I shared, months ago, that we had a water leak in our house, and I don't believe that God, that Satan climbed under our house and broke the pipe that, caused the flooding. Yeah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that, he broke my water pump last week. I don't believe any of those things. But he's there. He's around. And he's a real being. He's a real spiritual being. And he does have this influence. He does have this role in the world. And we have to be aware of it. In Job chapter 1, God allows Satan to test Job. Now, we're not going to get into a teaching in depth on why that is. It's just the reality that it is. It did happen. God allowed Satan to test Job. And in that first test in chapter 1, Job loses his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, and all of his children in what appears to be a single day. Job's response in chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. I can't imagine what it would be like to go through what Job went through. And he realized that everything he had, everything in his life, he received from God and belonged to God, which meant God could take it at any moment, and God did not have to explain it to him. He does ask the question later on. He does wrestle with the reality that God did do it, but he recognizes that it's all God's anyways. A careful study of the book of Job reveals that God never explains it to him. He never learns why it happened. The only reason why we have an idea why it happens is because we have the whole book of Job, as well as other writings in the Bible that refer back to Job. And then chapter 2 of Job, Satan is given permission to test Job again by striking his body. Verses 7 and 8 of chapter 2. "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, and he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Job's trials affected him emotionally, which we can absolutely understand, right? And these things weren't easy. And he wasn't afraid to let the world know it. That's what this tearing of the clothes and shaving the head, it's all symbolic of grief, of mourning, of recognizing, man, this was hard. I was sharing with Debbie earlier, I wish we had things like that today, because I'd love to be, you know, tearing my clothes and shaving my head and putting ashes on my head, because I feel like, you know, I'm messed up right now. You know, he wasn't trying to be happy clappy. Remember Pastor Ryan and his happy clappy thing. I'm not going to do the whole thing. I don't think I can pull it off the way he did. You know, everyone responds differently to trials, to tribulations, to difficult things in their lives. And we have so many reasons why that's true. And we see that, you know, in the very next verse. Job's wife, you recognize this, because we sometimes are a little hard on Job's wife. Job's wife went through the same trials that he did. She went through the same exact things that he did. She lost everything just like he did. She lost all of her children. You know, that's hard. The only thing she didn't get was the boils. But she had to live with a guy that had them. Yeah, that didn't smell good, I'm betting. Verse 9. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. They had lost everything, including their children. Now he is sitting there with these painful sores, and one commentary commented that not only were they painful, but they were itchy, which is why they believe that he scraped himself, is to try to relieve the itch. As Job's wife is standing there, she felt abandoned by God, that God had abandoned them. And so she was telling Job to do the same thing. You know, if God's going to abandon us, then we should abandon him. If he's not going to help us, then why should we care about him? That's what she's saying to Job. Others heard of Job's trials and responded, verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Nahamathite. I should just skip those. For they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept. And each one tore his robe, sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights. And no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Job's friends didn't end up being the best spiritual counselors to him, but they were there. And that's something. Randy talked about just the power of presence. Sometimes just being there is exactly what somebody in this place, in this state, needs. Doesn't matter who you are. You will encounter difficult things in this life. Bad things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. No one is immune. No one's going to get away with it. And we're going to go through difficult times, there are some things we need to understand about them, especially if we are here as believers. First thing, it's not easy, but it's not impossible. My mom's stroke was devastating. She's paralyzed on the right side, cannot move. She's completely bedbound. She cannot speak. Her vision is very limited. She has some trouble eating. And she had bleeding in her brain that affected the part of her brain that tells her to be awake. And so she's asleep most of the time. We have been told that she will not recover any quality of life. That the way she is now is the way that she will be. They are telling us it is impossible. Well, we believe in a God who created everything out of nothing, who holds this universe together with the power of his will, and that raises the dead. He is able. He can handle this. Matthew 19, 26 tells us, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And no matter how desperate your circumstances, no matter how hard it is, that the thing that you're going through, the trial, the tribulation, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, no matter how hard it is, it's not hard for God. He is able. No matter how impossible your circumstances are, remember, God excels at the impossible. He only is able to do the impossible. The next thing we need to know, it's not easy, but it's not eternal. It's not eternal. All of our trials, all of our tribulations, they all operate, exist, and only exist in the temporal. It cannot go on forever, though we feel like that, don't we? If you've ever been in a trial, you've been in a circumstance, if you've got chronic pain, or you've been, you know, you've got something going on in your life that's going on for a long time, years maybe, decades maybe, it feels eternal, doesn't it? But is it? No. These things in this world, they will not follow us to heaven. It's only temporal. We're being told that there is close to a 0% chance that my mom will ever get out of bed. Ever. I know something different than that. I know that someday she's going to be dancing on streets that are golden. And I got to tell you, I believe that. That is gospel truth, and I believe with every bit of my soul. It doesn't make it any easier for me to see her lying in that bed. It doesn't take the pain away. But it does comfort me that what she's going through is not eternal. Paul talked about the reality of that in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. For our light affliction, what is he talking about there? He's talking about your trials and tribulations. All the junk that we're going through. My mom lying in that bed, in a bed that she'll never get out of. That light affliction, he says, which is but for a moment, Do you know that all of your life is but a moment compared to eternity? Your whole life. And we're not talking about just the times you're going through hard stuff. We're talking about your whole life is but a moment compared to eternity. Is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That all these stuff we're going through in this life, it is going to result in something in heaven which is glorious. Now, don't ask me what that is. I don't know. I believe it. We do not look at the things which are seen. It's hard for me not to look at the things which are seen when I go to that place and I see my mom in that place. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Remember, everything has a spiritual component to it. Everything does. There is nothing in your life, there's nothing in this world, there's nothing in this universe that does not have a spiritual component to it. And if we remember that, we remember the spiritual things are the only things that last. All this stuff that we see is temporary. As they were praying for me last week, I had to be reminded of that. God had to remind me. This is just temporary. There's more to it than just this. They just finished at our house putting the kitchen floor back in. And we've been out of our house now for, I don't know, how long has it been now? 2 months we've been out of our house because of the water damage. They just put the floor back in yesterday. So we might actually move into our house this week. Somebody say hallelujah. You know, it's 2 months. It feels like forever. But it's not. It's going to end. Matter of fact, it's going to end this week. Oh, hold on. Careful. Lord willing, it's going to end this week. But it's coming. It will end. And for all of us, we need to remember that whatever we're going through, there is an end to it. Doesn't matter how big it is. Doesn't matter how small it is. Doesn't matter how life-consuming it is. Doesn't matter how painful it is. It's going to end. And we don't know when, and we don't presume to tell God when. We tell him what we want, right? Tell God what you want, but don't presume to tell him what you want. Share your heart with God. And let God determine when his timing is perfect. Third thing we need to keep in mind, it's not easy, but it's not personal. You know, this may come as a shock to someone, but this life is not all about you. Right? Don't you hate to hear something like that? It's not all about you. Never was, never will be. Something mysterious happens when we receive Christ. We become a part of something larger than ourselves. You know, before we're saved, the whole universe is about us. It's about what I want. It's about what I feel. It's about what I think. It's about what I desire. It's all about me. But when I become a part of the body of Christ, when I get saved, I become a part of something that is interconnected. Did you know that you are interconnected to every other believer on the entire globe? Everyone. We're not separated from either one. That's why Christians fighting against other Christians is absolute blasphemy. Every Christian connected to every other Christian in a deep and spiritual way that should be manifested in the way we live our lives. Paul talked a lot about that. He talked about it in one place in Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. It said, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's a lot chimed up in there, but the basic point is we all are connected to each other and need each other. We need one another. When something bad is happening in our lives, it's not because God is out to get you. Anybody ever feel that? God, why do you hate me? Or God's trying to punish you. He's not trying to punish you. God is not trying to punish you just because bad things happen. A friend of mine used to say, God is never doing a singular work. We think something's happening, it's happening in my life, so it has to be what God is trying to do in me. Not necessarily. Matter of fact, it might not have anything to do with you, but God's not going to waste it. If it's happening around you and you're being influenced by it, he's going to use it. Whatever he's doing in your life or in someone else's life around you, it's not just you. It's not just them. It's something he's doing in the world. It's not easy. But it's not impossible. It's not eternal. And it's not personal. We need to remember those things as we go through these difficult things in life. As Job sat there with ashes. He's sitting in the ashes. His clothes are torn. His head is shaved and sores all over his body. He wasn't hiding the fact that it was hard. And brothers and sisters, we should not be ashamed to let the world know that we're having a hard time. Jesus didn't promise Christians an easy life. And any pastor or teacher that ever tells you that as Christians we ought to be experiencing the good life, they're forgetting. The good life isn't in this life. The good life is in the next one. But there are some things that we can do to make it easier. This life is going to be hard, but there are things that we can do that make the hard things of this life a little bit easier. Doesn't take them away, doesn't make us immune to them, but it makes them easier. First thing we can do to make it easier is cling to Jesus. When Peter was walking on the water, you remember the account. Jesus walking on the water, and the disciples see Jesus on the water, and they're freaked out at first. They figure out, that's Jesus. And they say, okay, Peter says, hey, if it's you, call me out, and I'll come out to meet you. And Jesus says, come on out. Peter starts walking on the water. All of a sudden, he gets kind of freaked out because all the wind and the waves. He starts to sink, cries out to Jesus. Jesus grabs him, pulls him up, and they walk back to the boat. What do you think Peter was doing on the way back to the boat? Was he hanging on to Jesus? I think I would be. I think I'd have, he was a big old fisherman. He had a grip on Jesus. Like Jesus was like, say, lighten up, dude. Back up. I got you. Cling to Jesus. As that trial, as that storm rages around you, cling to Jesus. Remind yourself, come back to him over and over and over again. Remind yourself who has paid the price for you, who is there with you. Promise never to leave you. Never remember. Get a grip on him and don't let go. Now, the trial, the storm will try to break your grip. You've got to come back to it over and over and over again. Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. Jesus is our anchor, and we must cling to him with our whole strength. And he's the only sure anchor for your soul. If you turn to anything else to try to be steadfast, to be sure, to be anchored, it will fail. The second thing to make it easier, growing faith. One of the things that Randy said 2 weeks ago, I'm sure I paraphrased it, but you know, I'm close, I'm guessing. God wants to use trials to destroy every vestige of self-confidence. You know what that means? That while God does allow trials for lots of different reasons, they come for lots of different reasons. Randy shared a lot of the reasons why those things happen. But God, one of the things that God wants to do with them is to destroy our self-confidence. And I'm going to tell you, as an individual person, one of my great weaknesses is self-confidence. I believe, and this would be me being transparent, I believe I can do anything I want. I can accomplish anything I want to. If I set my mind to it, I can do it. Some part of me, deep down in my heart, believes that. And I have fought it. I have resisted it. I have tried to rebuke it. I have tried to cleanse myself of it, but it's still there. Deep. That's one of those deep down roots in my heart. You know what that's done for me in the last couple of weeks? Zero. Rick is absolutely incapable of doing anything in these circumstances. I can do nothing. I'm utterly and completely helpless. And what I'm learning, and I was talking with Randy earlier, I know all these things, right? I teach these things to you. You know, and now I'm, you know, running up against these things, and I have to remind myself the things that I know. Hey, Rick, you're kind of blowing it here. Remember, you're supposed to trust Jesus. Catch myself feeling helpless, asking myself, what am I going to do? I can't do this. I can't change this. I can't fix this. And I have to remind myself, it's because I'm not supposed to. It's not my job to do those things. It's His job. It's God's job. He's the only one that can do something about this. And so I have to trust Him. I have to depend upon Him and utterly depend upon Him because I am so far outside of what I can do here. Faith makes the impossible possible. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." It isn't easy. And Jesus told us it wouldn't be. But it's easier when we are clinging to Jesus and growing in faith. The more I know about God, the more I know about Jesus, the easier it is for me to go through these difficult times. Doesn't make them easy. I promise you that. It does not make them easy. But it is easier. I have reflected on this a number of times. I can't imagine what this would be like without Jesus. I can't imagine how hard it would be, how hopeless it would be, how painful it would be if I didn't have Jesus. If I didn't know what I know about God and His Word and His promises and His love and His grace and His mercy. If I didn't know those things, I can't imagine what it would be like to go through these things. And it really breaks my heart for those that I know there are people all around me that are going through things like that and worse. And they don't have Jesus. It should break our hearts. The third thing that makes trials easier is faithful friends. In our account in Job, his wife, it wasn't much of an encouragement, you have to say. And I'm blessed that God put Kelly into my life because one thing she hasn't done during this time is tell me to curse God and die. Right? I should be thankful for that, right? Now, she's been amazing. She has been a strength to me when I'm having a hard time, and I've had a lot of hard times. Job had three other friends who showed up and sat with him silently for a week. And one of the ways that we can make our trials easier is to connect ourselves with spiritual people. You know, sometimes the burden of our trial feels unbearable. That I have, over the last several weeks, I have come up against things that I was overwhelmed by. I'm going to be real vulnerable here. I was literally overwhelmed to the point of paralysis. I had no idea what to do. I didn't even know the right questions to ask. And then a spiritual friend comes along and seems to lift that burden. And sometimes just with their presence, just being there, is enough to make it easier, to make it lighter. Many of you have been that for me and for my family in these last few weeks. In the midst of your storms, in the midst of these hard times, stay connected. We've got to stay connected to the body. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another. Let us think about one another. Let us consider each other in a way that we're actually thinking, okay, you know, what is such and such need? What is the situation? What's going on? How can I help? What can I do? Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The enemy wants to separate us from the body of Christ. You've got to understand that. That while I do not believe that Satan caused my mother to have a stroke, I don't believe that. That was just living in a broken world. It's just the world is not perfect anymore the way God created it. And bad things are happening inside of our bodies that they weren't designed. They weren't designed to happen that way. But because we live in a broken world, a sin-broken world, bad things happen. And because they happen, Satan will take advantage of them. You know, the roaring lion, Satan does not seek to devour the strong or the well-protected. He doesn't go after them. He wants to separate out from the flock, from the body, from the church. He wants to separate you from your place of protection, from your place of strength, so he can get you alone and devour you. That's what he wants. I felt that attack 2 weeks ago, and I let it keep me from coming to church. The week before that, I knew, God told me, you need to be at church. You need to be with the body. You need to let them love you. You need to let that happen. And I did. And the next week, I felt something. I felt an attack. I knew it was an attack. I knew what it was. And I let it happen. And it kept me from coming to church. I was dreading answering one question that I knew was coming. I knew people were going to ask. And I didn't want to answer it. The thought of answering that question still fills me with dread. I knew people were going to ask me, how is your mom doing? I didn't want to say, you know what? She's not doing very good. And it looks like she's not going to get better. And I let that attack happen. You know what? It's not easy. This is not easy. But it's easier with spiritual friends. You know, what our family is going through is not easy. I mean, gosh, I don't even have to tell you that. You know that, right? If you think it's easy, I pity you, because something's coming in your life that will prove otherwise. And we know that we are not the only ones going through difficult times, through difficult things. And if you're not going through something difficult right now, praise Jesus. I'm so thankful for it, you know, for you, to you. But you probably know someone who is. What do you do? What do you do when you're confronted with somebody who's going through something hard, something difficult? Because we don't know sometimes, don't we? You know, somebody's going through something hard. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. It's real easy. Encourage them to trust Jesus. You know, don't preach at them. They don't need to hear that. They don't want to hear that. And they probably won't receive that. Help them to grow their faith. Make sure that they're centered on the truth. And then just be a spiritual friend. I have had, I don't know how many, countless people ask me, what do you need? How can I help? I don't know. I don't know what I need. I don't know how you can help. I don't know what you can say. I don't know anything right now. All I know is my mom is in a bed that she's never going to get out of. That's all I know. I don't know anything else beyond that. What do I need? I need you to be a friend. I need you to be a friend to our family. I need you to love us. I need you to pray for us. I need you just to know, just be the body of Christ. Just love Jesus and let the Holy Spirit tell you what to do next. I am so thankful for the people that have done that. Already they've done that. You know, they're just doing things spontaneously. We're not asking for it. We won't ask for it because, you know, that's the kind of people we are. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you to do something, tells you to call, tells you to do something, we've had, you know, I'm not going to say. Just let the Spirit lead you. Let the Spirit tell you how to be a spiritual friend, not just to us, because we're not the only ones going through things, please. That's one of the reasons I don't like talking about it, because I don't want you doing something just because I'm the pastor of the church. I'm just a person. We are just one of the families of the church. We are no better. We are no different than any of you. There are lots of people going through things in the church, and we ought to be better. Personally, I think we ought to be better at caring for one another, for loving one another, and letting the Holy Spirit lead us to do things that are outside of us. We live in a time and a culture where we're so centered on ourselves and our things and our devices that we've forgotten there's a world out there that needs to know the love of Christ. Not just know that there is the love of Christ, but to see it, to feel it, to feel the touch, to feel the word, to feel the act of grace. We need God's love. All of us do. And when it's tough, when it's hard, and there will be those times when it's hard, if it's not you going through it, then just help them to cling to Jesus. And you know what that might mean? Just you wrapping your arms around them. You know, sometimes I need to feel Jesus hugging me. You know what I mean? That's one of the reasons why I come to church. I want to feel Jesus hugging me. And I need my faith to grow. I know if my faith is strong, it's not just for me. It's for my family. It's for my church. And for all of those who will ever see something like this, who will ever go through something like this. And we just need to be friends. All of you who have been spiritual friends to my family, I'd just like to say thank you. Thank you, and we love you. That we're going to get through this, we know that. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. It's not eternal, and it's not personal. And if we'll just trust Jesus, we'll cling to him, we'll grow our faith, and we'll let people love us, that we're going to get to the other side of it. and that God is going to use it for His glory, for the blessing of others, and the growing of faith. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message out of the Gospel of Luke. If you found this message useful, consider sharing it with someone who might appreciate it. All the teachings from Calvary Chapel French Valley can be found at our website, calvaryfv.com, or wherever podcasts are found. We'd love to hear from you. We respond to all comments and questions. You can contact us by calling 951-600-3845 or by email at info@calvaryfv.com. You can also find CCFV on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Please consider partnering with CCFV as we seek to share the gospel and the hope that it brings. Your gracious giving will make a difference in someone's life. To do that, go to calvaryfv.com/give. If you'd like to know what's going on at CCFV, go to www.ccfv.life. God bless you. Have a radical day with Jesus.